let's go ahead and jump in. We are at a neat point in our study here. We're looking at women, at the role of women. Specifically, we're looking at the weaknesses of women. And we pointed out last week not only some weaknesses of women, but also some weaknesses of men. We all have weaknesses. It's important to understand our weaknesses, understand our strengths, but we don't want to turn a blind eye to our weakness. And the last thing you want to do is try to ignore a weakness and then act like it's a strength when it's not, because it won't end well. And there's a lot of women today that are a little upset that they don't get to do what men do or have the strength of men or can't go in this field, do all that. And so they push through, and some actually do, and they make a little bit, but they can't be fulfilled. I mean, I would not be fulfilled as a man trying to live the life of a woman. Amen, men? Is there any man here that says, man, I would be totally fulfilled if I could just live the life of a woman? Anybody like that? I just want to know who you are. We want to have a talk with you afterwards, together, in a room, no one else there, just us guys, amen? That's how guys treat each other, amen? Amen. Yes. Can you give that? Sure, you can interrupt class for that. Yeah.
Thank you.
You don't need it?
No.
I don't need that either. What's that? All right. So anyway, but the point is that learning how, because we believe God made us. I believe God made us. And I hope that you believe that God made us. Specifically, He made you. And He made you to thrive in a particular role, an avenue. But He didn't make all of us, He didn't make any of us to thrive across the board. In other words, none of us are totally, except for Christ. Christ came, He was 100% man, 100% God. He was perfect in every way. But mankind's not that way. That's why for a church it requires many members, because each member has something else they bring to that one unit, that one body, which enables us then to reach our Jerusalem, which is right here, but then also our Judea, which includes Indianapolis. And that's what this tent meeting is all about. You say, yeah, but most of them people are never going to come to this church. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. And that doesn't matter. You know, we support missionaries all over the world. Man, them people ain't ever going to come to our church neither, the ones that were trying to get saved over there, amen? But regardless of whether they come to this assembly or not, we have a responsibility, and we leave those results to God. So what's awesome about the tent meeting is, I mean, how else would we be able to reach into an area as effectively as we are right now unless we were doing something like that? So that I love that about these tent meetings, because it's our responsibility, and I believe God looks down, He sees that. I believe He blesses our church for our involvement in there. I know He has, and it's just something that needs done. And so, anyways, that's reaching our Judea. And then, of course, we want to reach out into our Samaria, which would be more like the whole state of Indiana, and then the uttermost, all around the world, amen. And so that's our responsibility. But the way we can accomplish that is by all of us working together. When one member is not able to be, I mean, the fact that Kyle Thomas is sick right now, when one member suffers, we all suffer, right? And it hurts us all, right? And by the way, when one member's not laid up in a hospital bed but just doesn't do their part, we suffer, right? It's no different than if your foot today decides not to work. You're going to be hindered. But that's how our body is. And so when we think of life that way, I can't be gifted and good at everything, but I need to understand where my strengths are and where the Holy Spirit of God's working in my life and just run in that area, right? And then pray that my weaknesses are picked up by others who are strong in those areas. Amen? And so that's kind of the whole thought behind this. So we're not picking on women as far as saying, we know your weaknesses, right? Well, every woman knows men's weaknesses, amen? And so whether they want to admit it or not. And by the way, women, women exploit the weaknesses of men. Just say amen right there. Amen. Thank you. Women absolutely exploit the weaknesses of men. They do. They know it. They know it, right? And we're not going to talk about all the ways they do, but y'all know what I'm talking about. They do. Amen. They sure do. And so men, we should not be exploiting the weaknesses of women. Some men do that, right? Some men do exploit the weaknesses of women. We're not We're not looking at this so we can exploit. We're looking at this so that we can come alongside and help. All right, we're going to look at the Bible a couple places here. Noted last week on top of page 361 about, and the whole thought here is that the author of this is pointing out that women are more spiritually weak in the area of being more easily deceived as a man. We would all agree that women are a little more emotional than men. Men think more factually, and oftentimes we're accused of not caring because, I mean, at least I am. I don't know about you sometimes. You know, why don't you care about, I do care about this. Well, you don't look like you care about it. I do care about it, but I also care about the truth. Amen? I'm not going to ignore the truth and let my hair get caught on fire and leave it burning. Amen? I'm going to do what it takes to get my hair extinguished, amen, and get back to the truth. But a woman will leave her hair burning and will live in a panic frenzy for years, just unable to grab hold of anything. And if they do, it's very short-lived because they're so emotional, right? Typically, not saying all women, this is just generalities. You might be one of those that's not true of, but nonetheless, most it is. So women are more apt to be deceived than men. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. Eve was the one that Satan came and approached. Satan approached Eve. He didn't first approach Adam. And then because Eve was in that place, she was vulnerable. She had fallen. Adam willingly made a choice to sin, but he wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. That's what the New Testament says about it, all right? And so we just need to understand that. It's not that women don't have good spiritual insight to offer. It's not that at all. It's just that a woman is more apt to be deceived by the enemy, by false religion, by the devil himself. So he's going to note in here a bunch of scriptural examples of how this took place. We saw on page 360, it was Sarah's idea that Abraham have relations with Hagar and have a child to bring about the promise. Can I just say, that was a stupid idea, amen? Would you all agree?
Yeah, I kind of realized that, yeah, she just didn't have the patience to wait on the Lord.
She didn't just have the patience. She came up with a totally unscriptural plan to bring about the promise of God. And yes, the key there in their right mind, right? No, I think those two are tied together, right? Having the children and the promise. The promise was seed, and a seed that would ultimately flourish and all the families of the earth would be blessed. So the promise was children, right? Problem, she couldn't have children, right? And so she felt like she had to figure out how to accomplish God's promise, right? And the second best solution, Abraham had an idea. Oh, it's just through the Eliezer, maybe that's it. God said no. Her best thought was through my handmaid. But to do that, my husband's going to have to marry her. And on and on and on. That was Sarah's idea. And for whatever reason, Abram then bought into it. And you could speculate on why. But I will just say this, women, especially in a marriage scenario, can put a lot of pressure on their husband. Let me say that again. Women can put a lot of pressure on their husband to do wrong. You hear that old thing? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's fine, but if mama wants to be miserable, let her be miserable. I don't got to be miserable. I mean, it can affect me. But at some point, you got to pull a Job there and say, man, you speak like one of the foolish women speaketh, amen. I am not going against God for you on this right here, amen. But women can. Women can put a lot of pressure on their spouses. And I don't know if that was it. I don't know if Abram also so wanted that he was willing. I don't know. Yes.
That thing that Sarah did with her husband, it still goes on today.
Are you serious? So we're not talking about artificial insemination. We're talking about literal. Oh, wow. So just don't see that as God's will. Yeah. I just don't see that as God's will. If you have a problem with that, come see me. But I think that's an issue. That is definitely an issue. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you could get away from the fornicative, adulterous aspect of it, even though it's for a good cause. I'm helping them out. Whatever. Which would help some other way, amen. Yes. Yeah.
And make it happen. So I bet you that's what she was thinking.
And ultimately, that usually leads in disappointment. Yeah, and bad things. So anyway, so Sarah was there doing, she is a part of that, and she convinced her husband to go along with it. Rebecca and Jacob, same thing. She convinced her son to go along with her plan. Now, ultimately, had God prophesied and all that? Was Jacob going to be the one that raised up? Yeah, but the means by which it came about through Rebecca's deception there of her husband, who was couldn't see well. So she exploited that. She exploited a weakness in her husband to bring about something in her son. And it caused huge rift in the family. So we see that there. And then we talked last week just briefly. We ended with Miriam and Aaron there. They opposed, as our text says, that they opposed Moses. And we know that Miriam ultimately would have become leprous. Moses went to bat for her. They didn't like the fact that Moses married a Gentile, and they exploited that. They couldn't get over that. And so they took that to mean then, hey, how can Moses be the only one that's leading us? Surely somebody else can. And Miriam got Aaron on her side, and they went against God's man, and God totally rebuked him. So we see Miriam in that role. Miriam got Aaron, and then she led that to that band against Moses. That's an interesting one. And then I want to look at this one. I want to look at the next one. This one I'm just going to mention. Dealing with Samson and Delilah, that's the fill in the blank there. He finally ensnared Samson through Delilah's cunning persistence. And if, by the way, I have studied the life of Samson because of the ramifications there. I believe God used Samson, and I believe that his fall was a tragedy. But we can't discount the working of Delilah in that. And again, she exploited a weakness in him. And it is to his own demise. And so, men, we need to be careful of our own weaknesses. It's not just women that need to recognize their weaknesses. We need to recognize our own. We see that here. But Delilah was I don't know if she was deceived. She was being paid off. She was basically a harlot. And she was already immoral. Why in the world Samson would trust a person like that, knowing that they're already living in moral failure? Moral failure goes across the board. You can't just live in moral failure in one area. It will trickle across to all. And so he fell, but it was Satan using Delilah in that case. By the way, Satan wouldn't have been successful in going against Samuel personally. Nobody else would either. His own parents were actually set aside by Samson. So they had no voice in his life. But this harlot, she had place. And then the devil used her. So there's just a couple of situations there. I want to look at this this one here. 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's turn over there, please. 1 Kings chapter 11. The life of Solomon, I mean, being the wisest man on earth, his moral failure should be eye-opening to us, and should also help us to see that just because we're being used in God in one area doesn't mean that we're not susceptible to fall in another area, or to be totally unsuccessful, unfruitful in certain areas of our life, even when God is blessed richly in another area. And we see that with Solomon. Solomon was greatly blessed by God in an amazing way. He was used by God. and brought about peace there to Jerusalem, really the world in that time. Solomon was revered, held in high esteem by all the other kings of the earth. They were amazed at him, and there was great peace in that time frame. And yet we find that he did have some weaknesses. And 1 Kings chapter 11, who wants to read verses, the 1 through 8 there? 1 Kings 11, 1 through 8. Ryan, you got it? Do you guys, reading through there, it's very sobering. Do you guys ever think about that side of Solomon? Everybody talks about Rehoboam splitting the kingdom. God said specifically the kingdom was split because of Solomon. Now, Rehoboam ultimately was the one that made the decision to follow the young counselors and all that. But the splitting of the kingdom lays at the feet of Solomon. It was Solomon, right? And the scripture's clear on that. But here's a man that was so wise, he could figure out everything, had to do with economy, had to do with just national decisions, international decisions. He was so wise in counsel. Those ladies came to him in reference to that child and his wisdom there the Bible speaks of. I mean, he was so smart in almost everything. And yet, there was a weakness that Solomon had, and had to do with women. And the devil exploited that weakness to the point that Solomon, with all his resources, totally facilitated the worship of pagan gods to the exclusion of God. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And so again, there's a weakness in women, the fact that they're going to run after strange gods. Many do. False religions today are headed up by women for the most part. They just are. But at the same time, men can be affected by Satan's use of women in our lives. Men, we better be careful that we don't let, whether it's our wife, whether it's our daughters, whether it's other women, that are our mother, grandmother, mother-in-law, grandmother, whatever. We have to be careful, men, that we don't allow the devil to use our wives to lead us against what we know is right by God. Example after example after example. The devil didn't come directly to these men. He came through women to these men. That is a sobering, sobering thought. Amen? How many men in here would say to their spouses, I believe the devil's using you right now? I have and will. I've had to say that to my wife before. Does she like it? No. I love my wife. Jesus said to Peter, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said it to Peter. Did Peter get all offended, stomp out of there? No, it broke him. The last person I want to be used by to affect somebody else is Satan. Amen? And the same should be true of you ladies. If you know that you're potentially weak in that area based on Scripture, then you better be careful that you're following God-given authority, you're following the Word of God, and you're careful not to be deceived by Satan and then used by him to lead other men figures in your life astray. Does that make sense? Any questions on that, thoughts? Yes, Jessica. Yeah. Right. You know, and I think, I mean, that's a danger, you know, on that end. But I would, when you say use that before, just follow me. But the reality is that if his life's not lined up with Scriptures, then this doesn't apply. In that sense, roles are switched, and the devil can use men to get their wives and family to follow, you know, the wrong direction too. This is just pointing out that women are more susceptible to that. That is not to say that men can't be deceived. We can be. That is not to say that men can't be, in this context, the leader of error in a family. They can be. I think we need to be on guard for that. This is just to say that the women are weaker in that area than men. That's it. But yeah, I think women have a responsibility. Some men may differ. They have a responsibility. Ultimately, they're accountable to God. God is at the top of that authority, and you need to be able to appeal to leadership. And not, I'm one of those guys that believes if a guy is wanting to sin and wants his wife, I don't think she's let off the hook because she blindly follows. You know, think about Old Testament and the law. A girl and a guy get caught in a fornicative relationship. Both are stoned, and it said the woman is because she didn't do something. What was it? Yell. She didn't yell. She didn't scream. She wasn't against it. So women, I think you have a responsibility. If something's wrong, you can't just happily follow along and say, "My husband said to do it, and I have to follow him. I have to be obedient." No, you have to scream. You have to yell. You got to kick and scream and say it's not right by God. You say, "But that is wrong." I gave you a scriptural example. We can go back and forth. You can give me one, amen. We are responsible in those times to point it out. I'm not saying live in rebellion. I'm not saying all that. I'd say there's a right way to appeal, a right way to recognize it. And we got to do our best not to be deceived, because that's the day we live. We live in the day of deception. And there's a whole lot of people out there going the wrong direction, and they're trying to convince everybody else it's the right direction. And I don't know, Bible commands us, be not deceived. And we got to be very careful. So that's pointing that out. Just lastly, a couple of these we'll wrap up so we can move on. As for next week, keep in mind Jezebel, and you can read through there what Jezebel did to corrupt Ahab. He was corruptible, no doubt. He took her unto himself. And at that point, it said Ahab did more to provoke the Lord to anger than any other king before him, as he was led by Jezebel to be wicked. Job's wife is an amazing one. It actually says the advice of Job's wife may have been understandable given the grief. Man, she lost her kids, everything. But it was based on the circumstances. In reference to all that we understand from behind the scenes, that was an ungodly action. And we're not going to go there, but if you would read Job 2, 3 through 10, in reference to all that, this was just after the second time Satan came to God and said, you know, he hasn't cursed you yet, but it's only because you're protecting him still, and all this on and on and on. And that's where God said to the devil, Okay, you can do anything now to him you want, just don't kill him. And then right after that, all of a sudden now, Job's wife is actually being used to try to get Job to curse God. That's what she said. You need to curse God and die. And so think of this. When nothing else worked, his last ditch effort, Satan's last ditch effort, was to get to Job through his wife. Whew, amazing. Anyway, we're out of time. Interesting study. Amen. There's more there, but I just encourage you just to understand that principle and let us be careful in this day not to be deceived. And really from either gender side, it could happen either way. But we just need to stay close to God and be very careful and not go down that path, because it's very easy for it to happen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for these examples in Scripture. And God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. We want to follow you, serve you, Lord. We don't want to be deceived and go in the wrong route. And we don't want our loved ones in a moment of weakness to head the wrong direction and then be allowed to get us to go that wrong direction as well. And so help us to be kind, help us to be right, but yet also at the same time, Lord, help us to stand strong for you. We love you. We thank you. Bless the remainder of our service here to follow, the service to follow. We pray, God, you move mightily amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.